All right, welcome in. Cube Show Podcast, a college football podcast, comes to you each and every Sunday. Appreciate you being with us. We talk college football to give you more content on Sundays when usually there's not a ton of it. We go through the film during the season. We watch all the SEC games and let you know how those looked, what we saw, what we noticed. We break that down for you. Off season, we find different things to talk about that we feel like are interesting. We've been a little bit off the field the last couple of weeks, so I want to dive back into some actual football. Spring ball is happening for multiple SEC schools. More are going to get ramped up this week. So I want to talk about a couple of guys that I feel like I'm most interested in seeing how they fit, what they do, and maybe what kind of impact they possibly are going to be able to make based on what happens through spring ball. Now, I'm going to give you my top five most interesting transfers to watch this spring in the SEC. However, that doesn't mean these are the guys I think are going to make the biggest impacts, even on their individual teams coming up in the fall. It's just based on what some teams lost, based on what some teams need, and based on what some of these guys could actually be if it feels like they're a good fit, if it feels like they're meshing quickly, if it feels like they're going to have an understanding of what their role is going to be. Could make a big difference, not just for them, but collectively what things could be for their team or on that side of the ball for their team. So I think it's a cool list. I think it's some guys that we've talked about a little bit on the show before. We'll take a little bit of a deeper dive today. As you guys know, each and every week, we are brought to you by Wickles Pickles. They are wickedly delicious. You know we've always got the giant jar. We always bring those to you, and we've always got them to snack on. Kids love them. We use them in a lot of different things. A lot of recipes out there that you can go grab if you're looking for different ways to utilize Wickles Pickles. They are, again, wickedly delicious. Go to wickles.com, use promo code CUBE, and you can save 20% on your first order. Tell your grocery store you want them. If they don't have them, say you need to get these in here. And if not, you can go to wickles.com and just order them to your house. A lot of different items that they have that can be great for you. All right, let's get into this list. All right, again, these are not the most impactful guys in the fall from their individual teams or top five most impactful in the conference. These are just the top five transfers I am most interested to see this spring in the Southeastern Conference. Number one, Chris Paul Jr., linebacker, Arkansas, transferring into Ole Miss. I spent a lot of time with Pete Golding and Wesley Neighbors last year talking about this Ole Miss defense. Size was the one thing that they said they're going to continue to try to improve upon really across the board. DB, corner, wanted more length, wanted a little bit more speed as well. Linebacker thought they needed to get bigger. Well, now you go out and get one of the most productive linebackers in the SEC and you add him into your defense. A guy that does things the right way, mentally, emotionally. I think he's somebody you love having in your locker room. Spent a lot of time talking to Arkansas defensive coordinator Travis Williams about him last year. Raved about this young man. And then when I watch him on film, he's productive. Lightning fast. Kid runs around at 233 pounds. So he can take the physical part of that game to the next level as well. Doesn't have a problem dealing with blocks. Doesn't have a problem with the physicality portion of playing linebacker in this league. So I think you upgrade the size that you wanted to. You get a guy with a ton of experience to come in on this defense, which mentally what he's going to add is going to allow Pete to continue to mix and match and do a lot of different things. I just think he's an overall great add. Now, could we have gone Walter Nolan here? Of course. I think we all know what he's going to bring to the table. And I think by adding him, it just collectively makes what they've done to that defensive line the last few years that much better. If you're talking about J.J. Pegues, if you're talking about Joshua Harris, a lot of different guys have been added to bulk up that group. And by doing that, I think it actually helps Chris Paul even more because you'll have more size, more girth inside to be able to let him run and make plays. Princely Umanomalayan, absolutely. They don't have another edge guy with this kind of twitch. Haven't had one in a long time, to be honest with you. I think on third downs, he's going to be extremely dangerous, and he's going to help. But again, Chris Paul Jr. is going to help in a lot of different ways, and I think he can bring a lot of different things to this defense. Now, on offense, hell, this is Logan Diggs, of course. I love him. Juice Wells may be the most impactful transfer in the entire league once we get to the season, but I think we kind of know that. So these are just guys I'm interested to see how they fit it in the spring, because if they take a big step in the spring, they're truly going to be impactful in the fall and allow a lot of other guys on these teams to be able to make an impact also. 6.5 tackles for loss last year. He's got 15 tackles for loss in his career. Had 74 tackles in just 11 games last season. You put him next to TJ Dudley, and now all of a sudden you have two SEC linebackers that look the way that it's supposed to look. Just big physical downhill thumpers. Doesn't mean Kari Coleman's not going to be able to help. You get Raymond Collins, who's another big physical guy as well. So, I mean, and then you take Princely and Suntrine Perkins out on the outside, and you can do all kind of different things with them. They don't necessarily have to be every down players if you have this kind of linebacker that can make this kind of an impact. So this, to me, is the biggest plug and go guy on this defense as far as all the different things he's going to add. The mental portion of it, getting guys lined up, getting guys ready, making checks, doing different things, speed, sideline to sideline. And hell, I'll tell you this, 74 tackles last year. If Chris Paul Jr. didn't have Jaheim Thomas, he probably makes 174 tackles last year. Jaheim Thomas going to Wisconsin, I thought he was the fastest linebacker in the nation that I watched on tape last year, just at how he attacked the football. So if he didn't have him on his team, he might have bolstered, but he could have doubled those stats. Hell, I don't know. But I think Chris Paul Jr. is a great get. I think he's somebody who has a potential to make a huge impact with this Ole Miss defense. But if he's a great fit as well, he could help a lot of other guys on that Ole Miss football team, maybe even go that much further with exactly what he's going to bring and what he's going to be. It's a big get for Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding and that Ole Miss football team. All right, number two, I'm going to go to Knoxville. And again, I think there are a couple of guys that I could point to that people would easily say that's the guy. Your tight end Holden Stoudt from Notre Dame, I think, has a chance to be really good. Chris Brazell, you guys have heard me talk about him, the Tulane wide receiver. He is dynamic. He can play. But the big one, literally, is Lance Hurd. You're talking about 6'6", 335 pounds, and now a young man that if you plug him in and we hear good things about him in the spring and this thing is progressing, and I don't care if it's John Campbell having to go to right, Lance Hurd at left, or flip that, whatever, you got Cooper Mays back at center, who's really good. Javontez Braggins played a ton of football at the opposite guard spot. And then whether you go, you know, Carrick, Lampley, Davis at the other guard, this group has a chance to be one of the best in the league if Lance Hurd comes in and we're hearing good things and he's progressing. Now, part of that is Lance Hurd has some improvements that he's making his game. Let's keep in mind, he only has one start in his career. I think he had almost 60 snaps against Auburn, so he's played in some other games and played a lot, and he does some really nice things. He's got great length. His wingspan has to be damn near 90. And when you watch the way that he moves laterally for his size, it is beyond impressive. His lower body flexibility's got to improve. I think he needs to work on his lower body power as well. Consistency with his hands can improve, not being his backbender as much. That needs to improve. Part of this scheme, though, will help him with some of the issues that he has. When you run this scheme, you're not dealing with guys that can tee off from a drop back perspective as much, just because there's so many different aspects of how they run it, where they align different things, the width, where different players are going to be. It does make some of it a little less challenging. Now, they can't cover up all of it. You still got to go out there and get guys blocked. And then if they know they have that extra aspect, they'll do what they did a couple of years ago with Darnell Wright and company, and they'll ram it down your throat. And they do have guys that are capable of getting that movement at times. But the way that it operates can be of assistance to an offensive lineman, technically and fundamentally at times. That's good news for Lance Hurd. He has all the tools to be able to be a starter and be an impact starter right away. I just want to hear how he's fitting in through spring ball. I want to hear if he's feeling it, if he's got the technique and fundamentals down. Does he complain about positions or tempo? Can he get used to that pace? There's just a lot of it that's going to be a little bit different for him, and I want to see how he fits in, because if he ends up being a good fit, he ends up being a quality player for this football team, watch out for Tennessee this upcoming season. That offensive line could be ripping, and he could be one of the best. So I like collectively what they have, and then when they added Lance Hurd, it was kind of like, wow, now this thing has a chance to truly go to the next level, and Tennessee's O-line has a chance to be freaking great. So I'm excited to see what he can do, but just as far as interest of what guys could or might not or can be through spring ball, he's one of those guys that's on my list. Three, Parker Brailsford at Alabama. You guys know I'm going to lead offensive lineman always. I'm sorry, but hey, there's a ton of other places that you can go hear about wide receivers and running backs and what kind of stats they put up. So let's talk about some of the big boys. We'll give you that every now and then on this podcast. You know what's going to happen. All right, Parker Brailsford's a little bit undersized. He's a center from Washington that transfers into Alabama after Seth McLaughlin transfers out. He goes to Ohio State, and Derek Dalcourt fittest and going to move on to the NFL. So Brailsford, 6'2", 275. I think David Ballou and those guys can get another 10 pounds on him by the time the season starts, no problem. The good news is Brailsford doesn't necessarily play light. from the standpoint of getting pushed around or getting bullied. But I do think he also understands that he's a lighter offensive lineman. He understands angles extremely well. He understands hand and hat placement extremely well. Leverage, something that he's very adept at dealing with, and he wins there most of the time. So I guess by saying that is, he understands that he's not just going to go out there and maul everybody. It's not the kind of football player he's going to be, and that's okay. It's actually better that he has the understanding of, I have to win these ways. All of that aside, he's a really good football player. And keep in mind with what this could add to what this Alabama team or offense is going to be this fall. You got Jaden Roberts and Tyler Booker next to you, two of the best guards in the league that are coming back. And with this offense now, what's going to change a lot is the quick passing game. So you have to bolster the middle of that offensive line. You can't allow the pocket to be dented on a regular basis or get that middle push if you're going to rely on the quick game, because those passing windows are going to disappear. Quarterback's going to have balls batted down, and he's not going to be comfortable with just dropping and getting the ball back. And if you're going to have 2 and 3 step drops where the quarterback's quickly getting it out and he's going to be right there behind the center, you can't allow your guy to take hits when that's kind of happening. So if you fortify that portion of this offense, it's going to allow a lot more to go. And I think, too, because of what else they have on the offensive line and the backs that they have with Justin Haynes and Jam Miller and a really solid group of tight ends, which is why you saw one move to wide receiver this week, I think they have a chance to be a group that can push you around some. So if you're going to lean on that, you got to have a guy that's going to be able to tell people where to go, where to get. Plus, he's played in this offense. He knows all the terminology. He knows all the checks. He knows all the verbs. And he's going to be able to do everything that he needs to be able to do to get guys lined up. So that brings extra value as well. The mental and verbal side of this is going to be huge for Brailford if he ends up being the starting center. Now, he wasn't one early in practice, but I think that's kind of a formality. I think he ends up winning this job. And he could be somebody that helps take that entire group to the next level and then helps that offense maybe overachieve a little bit just based on how far he can get ahead of what some of those hurdles and obstacles potentially were going to be. Could it have been Damani Jackson here or Keon Sabb or Jeremy Bernard? Yeah, those guys may make a little bit more impact throughout the course of the entire fall. But if you're talking about all things coming into place, I'm interested to see what Parker Brailsford does this spring. I'm interested to see if he gets in there with the one, starts running it, hearing about him taking control, being a leader, and just verbalizing everything and getting everybody on the same page, because then I think that's where that offense could excel. There are a couple of things we heard out of Alabama spring this week, and Kane Womack spoke to the media, and one of the things that he emphasized was his defense seeing a lot of different looks because this is an offense that aggressively installs. So also keep that in mind. New offense, they want to get almost everything in this spring. You got to have guys that can handle that and manage that. Brailsford can be one of those guys. So yeah, he needs to put on a little bit of weight. Okay, yeah, there are other guys that we may hear more about throughout the course of the fall, but as far as just kind of getting everything done, where's my interest level? Parker Brailsford is that guy for Alabama because I think he could be a massive piece that they're pushing for another playoff spot come this fall. All right, let's go to LSU. CJ Daniels, wide receiver Liberty. We've mentioned him on this podcast a little bit as well. Super talented. Now, Brian Thomas gone. Malik Nabers gone. So that's a lot of receptions, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns that are going to be out. We know what those guys were. I think, yeah, you got Hilton, Lacy, and Daniels coming back. Lacy's obviously, you're going to be your freak show, Megatron, massive guy that can just do anything physically based on his size. But as far as fitting that true piece of a move wide receiver, I think CJ Daniels can be that guy. I've seen him line up in the slot. I've seen him catch 50-50 balls down the field. See him lay out for slants, break tackles, run after the catch. I'm not comparing him to Malik Nabers and saying I expect the same kind of productivity. But as far as what he's capable of doing in a versatility standpoint, he can be that guy. He can move to different spots. He can be your motion guy. He can take a jet sweep. He can catch the ball down the field. Catch and run can be a strength of his. And with all the receiving prowess that's gone, he could end up being a massive piece. Now, we know Denbrock's not the OC anymore. So the offense will be a little bit different, but I don't expect Brian Kelly to let it get too far off. And you want that move receiver that you can define things for and try to find ways to get the football to. I think Daniels could be that guy. Now, there are other massive, like Xavion Thomas coming in from Mississippi State. I love this get because they haven't had a true slot receiver in a while, and I think he can sort of be that with a little extra juice. So now that could allow Daniels to even be more of a down the field guy, use him in different ways. So they're going to have enough pieces to be able to find ways to get guys in spots to get open and catch plays. And listen, Nussmeier can throw the deep ball. I mean, he's got those moon balls going straight up in the air, 60, 70 yards down the field. And this offensive line, and we were talking about Tennessee's offensive line a few minutes ago, I think going into the season, LSU's offensive line is the best in the league. And there's honestly no reason that it shouldn't be for the entire season. And we shouldn't talk about them being on the short list to win the Joe Moore Award late in the year as well. You got Josh Williams at tailback. You got a couple other running backs that have been successful. You got tight end Mason Taylor back. That group should be able to push some people around, and maybe that's a portion of the offense they get back to. However, C.J. Daniels, no matter what the offense turns to, morphs into, or is different, should be able to be very successful in the system that LSU runs. I just think he's a do-it-all wide receiver, and you're losing the ultimate do-it-all wide receiver in Malik Nabers. Now you plug C.J. Daniels in, big enough, strong enough to handle the things down the field, handle the physicality, quick enough, athletic enough to handle the short stuff, and give you a little extra juice there. So I think it's a great pickup. I like what it is. I'm a big fan of C.J. Daniels and how he sort of operates, but I think it's a good get. One of the guys this spring that I just want to see, how is he fitting in? What does he do? I know he's running with the ones already, but he's a guy that I think if we hear really good things about, now that Alvers, Kyron Lacy, some one-on-ones, nobody's going to be able to manage him there. If he's someone who can help coverage back off a little bit, well, we just talked about that offensive line and the running backs that they have, along with the tight ends, well, they could be able to mash some people, be able to do some different things on the ground, and they're going to have to do more of that because you're not going to have the dynamic run threat at quarterback that you did a year ago. So I just think the all-encompassing portion of Daniels could be really interesting as to what LSU is or turns into this season. Guys, don't forget about Blue Delta Jeans. By the way, Daniels last year, 55 catches, 1,067 yards, 10 touchdowns. I mean, the guy's got productivity. It goes back for years. Blue Delta Jeans, the most comfortable denim you'll ever wear. I had an event Friday night that I was the MC for. I had on Blue Delta Jeans. You can dress them up that way. They can be that nice. They can be casual. Wore Blue Delta Jeans to dinner with the family Saturday night. It's just what they are. You can have them custom fit for you. So you're not going to have to worry about being too long or too wide or too big. Whatever it is, these are made for your body. Blue Delta Jeans does that. You can go see Nick and the guys there in Oxford or go to BlueDeltaJeans.com. They can do digital fit now. Gift cards. Coming up birthday, Father's Day, whatever that is. Great gift idea to be able to give someone you love is a pair of Blue Delta Jeans. I love them. I wear them. Go to BlueDeltaJeans.com. And when you do, tell them you heard about them right here on Cube Show. All right. This last one I kind of went back and forth on. And again, there's 100 other guys that we could talk about. Like an Amari Nyeblack was one that I really wanted to talk about. We mentioned a couple of others on some other teams that I'm very interested in, but these are the five that I'm just most interested in seeing how they're fitting in, because I think they could change not only their position that they play, but a lot of the positions around them. But I did bounce back not only between different positions, but the same player or different players at the same position for the Missouri Tigers this spring. Their spring wraps up, I think their spring game's next weekend, so we'll have film session of that and break that down, what we saw there, because we're going to do that for all the spring games here on the show, just like we do for all the SEC games in the fall. That's what we do. But Missouri has a couple of running backs coming in I'm interested in. And I wanted to go Marcus Carroll. If you listen to the show, we've talked about him before. Georgia State running back. He has Saquon-type quads, like just a massive lower body, big rear end, huge quads. He bounces off defenders. And I think he's got just enough wiggle to be an every down back. Is he as adept to the stretch play? Probably not as much as Cody was last year. And Cody Schrader are going to be gone to that offense. Javon Foster is going to be gone at tackle. So could we have gone Caden Green? Yes. And maybe Marcus Carroll and Caden Green have a bigger impact in the actual fall. But one reason that I think Marcus Carroll might be able to have a bigger impact, or just that our offensive line gets humming the way that it was last year, is if that stretch play is really going. And there's a name that I had kind of forgotten about when I was doing some research on this week's show, and that's Nate Noel, running back from App State. First off, it feels like Nate Noel's been playing college football for 11 years. Some guys are getting pretty close to 11 years, so that might not be that crazy. Dude's got a ton of experience. He's played a ton of football. He's smaller, 5'10", 190, but he hasn't had a ton of injury issues in his college career. He's held up fairly well. Now, I know for a fact, mainly because of where he came from, playing it out, you ain't going to play it out and not be able to run stretch play. It's just the rules. You have to be able to do that. Also talking to some folks in Como. Sounds like he's having a good spring, and he's already plug and go as far as that individual play is concerned. This guy's got juice, man. Real, real, real juice. I'll give you some numbers. Sometimes we hear yards per catch or yards per rush, and it's because they only had a few carries or they only had a couple of catches. Like, they didn't have anywhere near what the other guys had. This is the yards per carry for Nate Noel in his career. First year, he had 82 attempts for 8.2 yards. Then his second year, he went to 199 attempts, averaged 14.2 per carry. Year three, back down to just 87 attempts, 9.7 yards per carry. And then last year, 173 attempts for 15.7 per carry. All right, so a couple things we learned here. It doesn't matter if it's a lot of carries, a little carry, sharing the load, not sharing the load. He's almost a first down machine when he touches the football. Second off, his two heaviest workloads, he had the two biggest yards per carry outages in his career. So 199, he averaged 14.2. 173 attempts, 15.7. Folks, that's dynamic. That's incredible. 541 career carries, over 3,000 rushing yards, 18 rushing touchdowns in his career, 50 catches, 272 yards. He had, last year, 81 runs. I'm sorry, in his career, he has 81 runs of 10 yards or more. He had 31 in 2021. He also has 25 carries in his career of over 20 yards or more. He's going to bring a little bit more juice than Cody Schrader had. Now, is he bringing the durability and the physicality? No, but that's what you have Marcus Carroll for. And Marcus Carroll now is going to allow for a very solid potential of a nice thunder and lightning duo in the Missouri backfield. There's enough of this offensive line coming back, and I love what they have with Van Fleet at tight end. They have a good group there and physically can add something. Brady Cook gives you mobility, and then you have a move player with Luther Burden. If you have a home run hitter at tailback, imagine what that's going to do for Theo East and Luther Burden. Imagine what that's going to do for Brady Cook on the backside of runs if everybody's leaning to the strong side or if everybody's biting on early where they see it looks like a handoff may go. My point here with Nate Noel is, he may not have as many yards as Marcus Carroll does this year. And they might not have to be as heavy of a run team. I know Drake wants to be. And I know that's just kind of what they are and what they're going to be. I know Kirby Moore wants to be. But if Brady Cook takes a step and Luther Burden and company want their touches, maybe you don't have to lean on it as much. But when you have the home run hitter that Nate Noel is at running back, especially off the stretch play where you have to widen out, your safeties are going to be out and down just a little bit more. The corners have to be more wary of the run game because they can get all the way outside the numbers there. Think about what that does to the field and how people have to align against you when he's in the game. And then if you're able to get a run sideline to sideline, you got Luther Burden coming on a jet the other way, or you run split outside zone, which they've done a few times, where you can hand it to Burden this way or you can go outside zone that way. The defense is all over the place. And you have potential home runs there, which forces you to play back a little bit. Now you can work the middle of the field. Quarterback run could be a big part of it. Nate Noel potentially makes this offense more scary than it was a year ago. And, you know, I think you got your big right tackle back, who I think is going to be one of the best in the league this year. The offensive line is not going to take a big step backwards. You got the tight ends that can add physicality that you can lean on and widen surfaces just a little bit more. Just all I'm saying is watch out for what Nate Noel may potentially be able to add to this Missouri offense, because he's got productivity. He's shown good durability. There's another transfer coming in that can be your hammer guy. It can be your physical back, your battering ram, if you need him to be. Hell, Marcus Carroll can even be your every down back. And then Nate Noel is utilized in different ways to be able to provide that home run threat and force people to defend you in a little bit of a different way. So once again, that's my top five. I could have done 15 of these. Maybe we'll just roll off some more next week, but we are kind of getting everybody into spring ball. I think we'll have the Missouri spring game to look back on. We're going to get to our spring previews as well, talk about what we've heard through spring for each and every team. We'll do an individual team throughout the course of spring ball. We'll get going there. But these are just some guys that I've been hearing about, that I've been thinking about, that I've watched some film on, that I thought going into spring practice for everybody collectively are the most interesting transfers from me, because I want to see how they fit, what they do, and how they change what's around them. And the big portion with these guys that I selected is they could be of greater benefit for guys at other positions than they could themselves at their positions. And that's truly what makes your football team so good. So just a couple of guys I got my eyes on, a couple of guys I'm watching, a couple of guys I think could be really interesting, a few flying way under the radar. There's plenty more out there, and we'll try to cover them all before we get to the season. We're with you every Sunday. If you're watching on YouTube, please go subscribe. Please like. We're trying to get to 10,000 subscribers. We've kind of run into a wall here, but we're trying to get there. We appreciate all you guys that tune into the show each and every week. If there's a guy you want to add or something you like or don't like about the show, comment down there. Let me know. We love reading those. We love that feedback every week as well. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you can catch us there. Please subscribe. Give us that 5-star rating. Thank you so much for those. You guys are an awesome audience. I appreciate the back and forth. At Cube Show on Instagram and Twitter, we try to keep things updated, keep things going there. We're going to keep doing it each and every Sunday. That's why we'll be back next week.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.